It just seems that we as children of God, we as Christians, does it seem to you that we are constantly being bombarded, if I may, with challenges and temptation and difficulties on every corner? Does it seem like that Satan is out there and that he is alive and he's well and he's seeking whom he may devour? Does it seem to you that he is causing division in the church? He's causing division in families. He's breaking up friendships. He's doing all of these things, trying his best to get a stronghold on God's people. Does that seem like a fair statement to say? So Christians today are continually being tempted and challenged by the call of this old sinful world. Friends, you and I, we can all know as children of God, for all of us that are Christians, that according to the standards of the world and according to the teachings of the Bible, you and I, we know that we are in the world, but we are not of the world. We cannot be of the world and still be satisfying to our Heavenly Father. If you are a serious student of the Word of God, if you are one that is truly involved in the Word of God, you will quickly discover in your studies that the Christian must take a stand. We have got to stand up and fight against the wiles of the devil. You and I have got to take a stand and stand and do and stand, if I may, behind the cross at Calvary. We've got to stand firm in that of not becoming a victim of the world's allurements and the traps that are being set by Satan himself. I hope and pray today that you and I, as we look at our lesson today here in just a few moments, titled, This World Is Not My Home. Say that with me. This world is not my home. We are pressing onward, aren't we, brothers and sisters, for that place is being prepared for God's people, for those that have prepared themselves for that beautiful place called heaven. In the book of John, chapter 14, down in verse 2, the Lord gives us a blessed assurance, doesn't he, that he is preparing a place for you and for me. But friends, I want to tell you something and share this with you, that if we find ourselves being not only in the world, but also being of the world, when we find ourselves falling in these traps that Satan sets and we continue to live as the devil would approve our lives, I hope you understand what you are forfeiting. I hope you understand what you would be giving up. Satan is out there, and I'm afraid today that many people in the religious organizations, if I may, or many people in teaching positions, if I may, are minimizing the effects of the devil. The devil's just as wide awake today as he was on the day that he deceived Adam and Eve. Do you agree with that? He is just as active today as he was even in the very beginning of time. Satan will do whatever he can to minimize sin in your life and mine. He'll do whatever he can to try to get us to make sin a lot smaller than what it is, so that we can have the attitude, well, it's not really hurting anybody else, and it does make me feel good. Well, that's where we're at today, brothers and sisters. It seems that we are in a feel-good society. Long as it feels good in our heart, everything must be okay. I reminded you in many lessons from the pulpit, from 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, where the Bible says to be sober, to be vigilant, because your adversary, your enemy, the devil. Why? Because he's walking about like a roaring lion. What else is he doing? The Bible says he's seeking whom he may devour. Even over in the book of James, if I may, James chapter 4, down in verse 7, we're told again, therefore submit to God. And the Bible goes further and says, this is who you better resist. The Bible says, resist the who? The devil. And what does the Bible say? That he will do what? That he will flee from us. That he will go away from us. Why? Because he knows that we're God's people. Now, does that mean that he'll never come back? No, that's not what that means. But that means that we can be overcomers, amen? But we've got to make sure that Jesus is first and foremost. Friends, listen, Satan has destroyed so many different lives today. He's destroyed so many different people. We know that he's destroyed kings. As I said before, he's destroyed nations. He's destroyed people. You think about Sodom and Gomorrah, how they were destroyed because all the acts of iniquity, corruption, and all of that. You think about the days before the flood. There's just a plethora of things that we can look at that shows us that Satan is not dead, is he? That's why we are in the world, but you and I cannot be of the world. This world is not my home. Say it again. This world is not my home. In the book of Genesis chapter 3, if you were to be doing that study later today, Genesis chapter 3, you got about 13 verses there that you can consider, Brother Larry, as you think about a perfect setting, and we know the situation there. We know the story, not a fable, it's a true story, where Satan came into the picture and he deceived Eve, and she gave to her husband Stephen and shared that evil deed because she took of the forbidden fruit, and he too shared in that evil deed. And we know that because of that, says we know that death reigns this very day, don't we? We know that sin has become pretty prevalent, hasn't it? And sin has overtaken the lives of the non-Christians, and it is trying to grab the attention in the lives of those that are following. It's recorded in the book of Isaiah. Go there with me. In the book of Isaiah chapter 14, if you look at verses 12 through 15, we can see where Satan even rebelled against God. Folks, listen to me. We need to understand something. Satan, here goes that good English, ain't good for nothing. Amen? Satan ain't good for nothing. Remember that. He's nothing but trouble. Isaiah chapter 14, look with me at verses 12 through 15. The scripture says, "How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of who? Of God." Now, I want you to think about what Satan's doing. He's trying to dethrone God, isn't he? He's trying to raise himself up, Courtney, in a level even higher than God, if I may. That's just not going to happen. "I will also sit on the mount of the congregation, on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like," do you see this? "I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit." So what are we seeing here? We're seeing that Satan himself is even after God, isn't he? So, Jay, if he is after God, he's after God's people, isn't he? If he is after our Heavenly Father, he's after the Son of God, because we know in Matthew 4, 1 through 11, did he tempt Jesus? Did he take him up on an exceedingly high mountain and say, "Hey, if you'll fall down and worship me, everything you see, I'll give to you"? Did he do that? Is that what he did to Jesus? But Jesus didn't give in to that temptation, did he? Jesus continued on, and he'll continue to live because he was going by the word of the Father. Isn't that about right? So we know without a doubt that Satan has deceived so many people. We know that Satan himself has robbed God of a lot of souls. The souls that have went on, the souls that have passed away without being a child of the Most High God. Another soul that's being robbed from our Heavenly Father. I believe that's why the Bible says what it does over in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, if we look at verses 10 through about verse 18, where Paul is speaking to the church at Ephesus about being able to withstand the wiles of the devil, being able to stand up and dress up and be ready to be a soldier of our Heavenly Father. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 18, "Finally, my who?" He says, "Be strong in the Lord and the power of whose might?" He says, "Put on the whole armor of God." Now, he didn't say just a little bit. He said put it all on, didn't he? Put on the whole armor of God. That's where we get in trouble today, brothers and sisters. We taste the righteousness of God. We taste the righteousness of God when we're washed and we meet the blood of His Son in baptism. We come out of that water grave of baptism and we've tasted the spiritual liberties and spiritual freedoms. But sadly, we're not putting on the whole armor of God. There's a lot of people today that call themselves Christians. It's not putting on the whole armor of God. God doesn't accept partial us, does He? He wants all of us. Do you agree with that? He demands that we give all of ourselves. We see that in Matthew 6:33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." Is that what He says? All right, so He's not going to take partial, is He? All right, so if you'll look at this, put on the whole armor of God in verse 11. And the reason for that, so that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Why is that? Because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, the Bible says, take up the whole. Do you notice that word whole again? Take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to do what? All right, two people's answering. We're going to go back until we get it right, brothers and sisters. Verse 13, are y'all ready? Therefore, take up the what armor of God? There you go. Armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to do what? So do you get this right here? Daniel, he expects us to stand, doesn't he? To stand against the wiles of the devil. Stand up for the righteousness of God. Are y'all ready? Stand therefore, having girded your waist with the truth, put it on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Many times we've read this passage of Scripture and we overlook that word all. And the reason I bring that up is this. Watch, above all things. Watch this. Above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked one. That means with God on our side, we are more than what? Conquerors. Say that with me. We are more than conquerors. How? Because we're able to do this because of the Lord. Take on the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, and the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all of the saints. Listen, brothers and sisters, if we're going to make it in this world as ambassadors of Christ and representatives of the Lord, faithful Christians, we've got to gird up, don't we? We've got to put on the breastplate of righteousness. We've got to put on the helmet of salvation. We've got to be involved and carry the sword of the Spirit. What is the sword of the Spirit today? Say it like you love it. It's the Word of God. Say that. It's the Word of God. So how do we prepare ourselves for the war that's about us? We prepare ourselves by having our Word with us, having God's Word deep within our hearts. Does that make any sense to you? All right. So we see that. Please don't be confused, brothers and sisters, like thousands and thousands and thousands of other people are confused in this world and deceived. Satan, sadly, is winning the war with a whole lot of folks. Satan is winning the war when you place more value upon fleshly desires and things of that nature and worldly desires than you do that of doing what God is calling us to do. You're allowing Satan to win the war in your life. Do you get that? And it sets a stumbling block for those that are watching your life. We've got to be careful. I appreciate what Jared just read to us a few moments ago. 1 John 2:15-17. I'd like for the congregation to join in with me on this reading because of its importance. All Scripture is important, but I want you to read this whole thing with me. Are you ready? 1 John 2:15-17. Is everybody ready? Let's go. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is, but he who does the will of God, okay, so abides forever. What does that mean? That word abide means lives forever. Amen. Now, we have a passage in the book of Hebrews 9:27, is appointed once for man to die, but after this, the judgment. So this is not talking about a physical life, is it? Because we are all going to perish one day, physically speaking. But here, according to this passage of Scripture, if we are living for Jesus Christ, if we have Christ in our lives, He in us and us in Him, we will live forever. In that beautiful place called heaven, worshiping Almighty God, having nothing but joy in our lives. Do you like that idea? Well, let me tell you, it's not just an idea, it's a promise. So this world is not my home. I long for something much better, and I know you do as well. I long for a place of no tears. How about you? I long for a place where there's not going to ever be sadness again. There's never going to be murder, Carolyn. Never will there be murder in heaven. We'll never hear about that again, will we? There'll be no deception. There'll be no lies. There'll be no thieves. There'll be no fornicators. There's not going to be any drunkards. No wars. No more rumor of war either. There's not going to be any racial wars or racial contention. There's no more disappointments. You know what's going to be there, Jerry? Happiness, amen? Excitement and joy and peace and security as we are gathered together worshiping our Almighty God. That's what I'm longing for. Are you longing for that? If you're longing for that, brothers and sisters, then you have to say these words. This world is not my home. Say it. This world is not my home. Why? Because this world is full of what we just said. No excitement. No real joy. No real security. No real happiness. Now, we are happy with one another, and we can bring make this life a little easier. But, friends, we can't even comprehend how great it's going to be in heaven. That's why the Lord said what he said about Jesus. Thanks be unto God for this indescribable or unspeakable gift. Heaven is such a great place, amen? All right, so we need and should be longing to get there. Listen, I want you to know today that heaven is a real place. Heaven is a place where all of God's children will be gathered together forever to worship God and to enjoy the beauty of heaven. John 14:2, proves to us that it's not a myth, is it? In my Father's house are many what? And he says, I'm going to go there and prepare a place for you. Is that what he said? Who said that? Jesus said that. And he said, and if I go prepare a place for you, what's he going to do? Going to come back and receive us to himself, that where you'll be also, found in John 14, 2. So as we get into our lesson, these are going to be some short points this morning. Let me remind you that if this world is your home, then heaven can't be. Do you get that? If this world is your home, heaven cannot be your home. You must choose heaven or you must choose hell. The choice is yours. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, and these will go into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into everlasting life. The three points I want to give you this morning is this, as we talk about this world is not my home. The first one is this. Since the world's not my home, I'm not going to be conformed to this world. Does that make sense? Since the world's not my home, I don't want to be conformed to the world. I want to be conformed to what? Heaven. I want to be transformed into heaven. That's where I want to be. I want to concentrate and think upon heavenly things. Does that make any sense at all? All right. So I'm very serious, brothers and sisters, when I tell you that I long for that beautiful place called heaven. Because it's a place, again, where there's not going to be any of this war. There's not going to be any pain. There's not going to be any sicknesses or anything. Heaven is a perfect place. And since I'm not wanting to be part of this world, and you don't want to be part of this world either, you and I need to be certain that our life is not conformed to this world, but transformed, brothers and sisters, into what God would have us to be. Romans chapter 12, down in verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, I charge you, or I encourage you. And New King James says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a what? What else? Holy, acceptable to God. What does this mean? This is what? Which is your, come on, Larry. Thank you, brother. Which is your reasonable service. Well, we can't leave verse 2 off here. The Bible says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Thank you. Beautiful passage of Scripture. Folks, being transformed means that I have to have a mind change. Does that make sense? That means that I've got to have a mind change. I'm never going to be transformed. I'm never going to be conformed, if I may, to the things of the heavenly nature if I don't have a mind change. Does that make sense? I've got to make a change in my mind. I need to have the right mindset. And that is called repentance. In Luke chapter 13, down in verse 3, Luke 13, down in verse 5, say it with me. I tell you nay, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Ain't nobody left out, is it? You either change and do what God wants us to do and be conformed to the beautiful nature of God, or stay like you are and you'll get what's coming to you, won't you? So let's do what God's calling us to do. Listen, when we conform to the righteousness of God, we will begin and we will continue, brothers and sisters, to do godly things. We will act like Christians act. We will respond the way a Christian responds. We'll do what God calls us to do. Does this take a while? Is repentance day long or lifelong? Lifelong. It takes a while, doesn't it? And thankfully, we have the love, the mercy, the grace, and the forgiveness of God to help us along the way, and the gift of the Holy Spirit, who will help us to get where God wants us to be. But in order for you and me to do that, we've got to go back to a passage of Scripture that Paul says, I wear out. Good. I love being told that I wear Scripture out. Matthew 6, 33. Do it with me. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all of these things, why in the world does your preacher bring that up in almost every single lesson? Because it's so needed in every single life. Amen. We all need to be reminded, because sometimes we are born, understand, we are born with a selfish nature, aren't we? Ask Adam, ask Eve. Look at Joseph's brothers. Look at Ananias and Sapphira. Look at, what was the boy's name who went in the belly of the fish? Jonah. Ask him when he went a different way. It's all about what we want, isn't it? Isn't that kind of the nature of mankind? But we see that that's not acceptable in the eyes of the Lord. God says, hey, I got to be first. And you've got to seek after the righteousness of God. Not just seeking Him, but seek after His righteousness. So, that first point, remember this one. Since this world's not my home, I'm not going to be conformed to this world. Second point, since this world is not my home, we're going to go back to our little song that we used to do in VBS. We're going to let our light shine in the world. Amen? Since I'm not of the world, I'm going to let my light so shine in the world. Friends, I am convinced that we all as Christians need to be, we must be reminded about our responsibilities, our biblical obligations, our biblical injunction, if I may, to let our light so shine among people. Amen? We are to illuminate the righteousness of God. When people see us, brothers and sisters, they should see Christ shining in us, shouldn't they? When they see us, when someone sees us, Courtney, they should see a Christian. They should see Christianity everywhere, shouldn't they? Now, does Jerry and Courtney fall short? Yes, we do. Sis, do you and I miss the mark? Yes. Do you and Jerry Jr. miss the mark? Absolutely. But that is not a license to continue to sin willfully. Amen? But what it is an encouragement to me that, you know what, Jerry Ladd, Sr., you had a bad day yesterday, or maybe you had a bad 2 weeks ago, or you had a bad life in the back, but today all of that's different. Every day we're renewed in the Holy Spirit, aren't we? Every day we're renewed in the Spirit of God as long as we are seeking Him first. Does that make sense? And truly repenting from our heart and letting God see the fruits of our repentance. Not only should God see the fruits of our repentance, but the other people should see the fruits that we're producing as Christians. You agree with that? That's why God says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Yes or no? Glorifying your Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Do all things. Oh, here we go. I know it kicks me right here. I don't think about any of you guilty. Do all things without complaining and disputing. Anybody here complain? All right, that's going to hit all of us. Do all things without complaining and watch this, and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. If we'll just do what God's calling us to do, we will shine. Amen? And it's not the light that I want on me. It's the light of Christ Jesus I want shining through me. Amen? I don't want the praise. I don't want the glory. I just want people to know that I'm a Christian. And they're going to see that when I let the light of Christ shine in me and through me. Did you notice what the Bible says a while ago? That they may see your good works, your godly works, not to our glory, but to the glory of our Father, which resides in heaven. Family of God, let's be sure that we're doing that. Let's let our light so shine before others that they may see the way we act. They may see the way we react. When people are looking at our lives, hopefully they're seeing us studying the Word of God. Not just studying the Word of God, but studying and applying the Word of God. Amen. I want them to see other people to see us assembling and attending at every opportunity. Why? Because that is a walking testimony of our love for our Heavenly Father. When we come to the worship service of the Lord, we should be excited. We should be happy. We should feel very blessed that God's given us yet another opportunity to come and to worship Him. And thankfully, we have a congregation where we do that in spirit and in truth. Amen. So that's a blessing indeed. There's a lot of folks out today, brothers and sisters, that's worshiping in some places. It's not preaching and teaching the truth. I encourage you, once again, from behind this piece of wood right here, to be sure that you're studying the Bible, that you're studying the Word of God, to investigate those who teach, to investigate those who preach, and to make sure that we are individually living our lives according to the oracles of God. I'm thankful that the Word of God never changes. I'm thankful that Jesus doesn't change the rules in the middle of the game. That's the way Jerry Jr. does if I'm beating him in basketball. You know, or if I'm beating him in Uno or Skitbo, he's like, no, and he starts licking his thumb. No, you can't do that, Dad. Well, Jerry, it worked well ago when you were winning, which has only happened once. Isn't that good, Stephen? Isn't that good? Hey, like that. But Jerry will change the rules. Amy knows I'm telling the truth. He will change the rules right in the middle of the game unless he's winning. And then if I try to, I just flat out cheat. That's what I'll just tell you. I'll come out with it. I'll look over. If Chris and I are playing Uno and I need a blue, my glasses are off and I'll point to my eyes. What color is my eyes? They're blue. If I need red, I'll hold my breath, make my face red. Chris, you know what I need. Okay? If I need green, I'll slide a dollar bill up and point the color. We'll do whatever it can to win. Can't do that in Christianity, can we? It's applying the complete oracles of God in our lives. Amen? Doing what the Lord's calling us to do. We got to let our light so shine. God's word doesn't change. And I'm convinced that we are to walk in the light. I love Matthew chapter 5:14. The Bible says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill, the Bible says, cannot be what? It can't be hidden, absolutely. Let's give you a third point. This lesson's yours. Since this world's not my home, and this world's not your home, listen to me, I must not gain the world at the expense of my soul. Sadly, there are people today that will cash out their soul for the world. Do you realize that? There are people today that will cash out their soul for the pleasures of the world. What does that mean? That means there's a lot of people, maybe very good moral people, but refusing to become a Christian, refusing to walk up the aisle to be baptized for the forgiveness of their sins, refusing to do what God's calling them to do because they enjoy the pleasures, the passing pleasures of the world. I hope we all truly understand that the soul is indeed man's greatest asset. And it's man's greatest asset because of what you read back in the book of Genesis. If you go to Genesis chapter 1, 26 and 27, the Bible says, "Then God said, let us make man in according to likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, birds of the air, over the cattle, over all over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." Go to 27. So God created man in his, go. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. The Bible says God created them. So listen, we know where we came from. Isn't that right? Who created us? God did. So when God created us, I don't want to mess that up, do you? So we need to know and remember that we don't want to gain, I'm not interested in gaining the world at the expense of my soul. Why? Because I know who created me. It was indeed God. Are you protecting your soul today? Are you protecting your soul by the life that you're living today? Would you say that you're protecting your soul, the soul that belongs to God? Matthew 25, verse 46 again, these will go into everlasting punishment, but the righteous, the Bible says, into what? Everlasting life. Let's go back over to the book of Matthew. I want to show you something. Matthew, will you go to Matthew 16, or are you already there? Okay. So we are warned, brothers and sisters. You and me clearly are warned in the Bible to be sure that we are not cashing out our souls. Do you agree with that? We're warned in the Bible not to exchange our souls for anything. Matthew 16, 24 through 26. The Bible says, and Jesus said to his disciples, are we disciples, folks? Absolutely. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and... For whoever desires to save his life, come on, will what? But whoever loses his life for my sake, guess what? Thank you, Stephen. We'll find it. For what, watch this, for what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and then loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Judas Iscariot gave his life, didn't he? There's a lot of people that we can read about throughout the Bible. They gave their life. They gave up their soul for things of the world. Ananias and Sapphira over in Acts chapter 5, 1 through 11. I think about Judas, and I know that people have many different views about that. I know he betrayed Jesus. I know he sold Jesus, and I know he died in suicide. That's what I know. I haven't read anything that he repented, but I'm not his judge. Amen? But we have to know that when we're away from Jesus Christ, when we're not doing what we're supposed to do, when we are taking the world at the expense of our soul, I assure you, according to Scripture, you will pay the price. What will you give in exchange for your soul? Judas, as I said, gave up Jesus and himself for the riches of the world, came to realize it, and went and took his life. So we can ask that question today. Not only what he had given up, but today what are you giving up in exchange for your soul? Are you giving up your soul in exchange for things of the world? Are you giving up your soul today for some of the pleasures of the world? And let's tighten it up. Maybe we're not doing that wrong. Maybe we're not doing this wrong. But are you neglecting so great your salvation by failing to do some of the things that God called us to do? I know these preachers get up here and we harp on, can't do this, can't do that, can't do this, can't do that. But you know what? There's a whole bunch of can-dos, isn't it? We can have a happy life, can't we? We can have joy in our lives. We can have excitement. We can have a smile on our face, even in the midst of adversity. We can have love for one another, can't we? We can have that joy. We can have that peace. We can have that happiness. But it takes putting God first and foremost. Amen? And remembering these words. This world is, say it with me, this world is not my home. And we will close on that, brothers and sisters. In the book of Galatians, chapter 5. Book of Galatians, chapter 5. Well, I got to read this part to you, then we'll go to the house. Galatians 5, 16 through 26. I want to let you take a look at a lot of people that are enjoying the passing pleasures of what the world has to offer than what the beauty that God has to offer. The Bible says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things which you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. And watch this. These are things, if you're caught up in the world, listen. Adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbirth of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, and heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, and I'm telling you again, this is what Paul said, watch this, that those who practice such things will, say that again, not inherit the kingdom of God. So where are you in your walk? I hope and pray today that you have the fruits of a Christian, that you have the fruits of righteousness. But the fruit of the Spirit is, now watch this, it is love, the Bible says. It is joy. It is peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness. The Bible says faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passion and desires. If we live in the Spirit, the Bible says, let us walk in the what? Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another and envying one another. Folks, what does all that mean? Live right, act right. Amen? Live according to the teachings of what God's Word says. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the Bible says he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Have you become new in Christ Jesus? Are you one today that's a child of the Most High God? If not, let me tell you today how to become one. Hear your word, the word of God. Believe, repent, confess, be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Live a faithful life unto and into your death. Always remember, brothers and sisters, that we are indeed, if today is a day of restoration for you, you know, hey, I need to be restored. I need to get excited again. I need to be able to hold God's word deeply in my heart. And I need the prayers of the brothers and sisters in Christ. I just need some guidance. I need that encouragement. Let us help you. Let us pray with you, for you, help you, encourage you any way that we can. If you have a need, any need at all, you're invited to come right now as together we stand and we sing.